Welcome to Acting on Faith. This is Saturday noon. We come to you every Saturday at noon. And first, I want to give the station ID. This is WRFU 104.5 FM, LP, that you are listening to. WRFU is an open forum for the Urbana-Champaign community. Views expressed are those of the speaker and are not intended to represent WRFU, UCIMC, or Urbana Socialist Forum. And now, Acting on Faith this week is concentrating on books to prisoners. Acting on Faith is an ecumenical radio show that focuses on the presence in the world of every faith and also people who act on faith of their own. We're spiritually minded and socially active folks exploring beliefs and actions in our community and the larger world. And today, we're going to hear from several of the volunteers from Books to Prisoners, which is located right here in the same building with WRFU. And first, let me introduce, or let them introduce themselves so you can hear their voices. Our first two volunteers that are talking are...
You want me to go?
Yeah.
Okay. My name is Niloufar Shambayadhi, and I'm 20 years... member of this community for the past 20 years, and I'm a part-time instructor at Parkland College and a volunteer at Books to Prisoners for almost close to 2 years.
And?
Hi, my name is Bill. I've been volunteering for Books to Prisoners for about 3 months now, and it's been a lot of fun and really satisfying.
Okay. The way I'm getting it is the volume is too high. Do you hear that in your earphones?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how to turn it down, but I'm hoping that our listeners don't hear the same thing. I think that's the case.
Yeah.
So we just have to get used to it.
Or maybe get a little bit farther from the microphone.
No, don't do that.
Okay.
No. Okay. First thing, what is the mission of Books to Prisoners? What does it do? Either one of you.
Yeah, Bill, you want to go ahead with this?
The Urbana-Champaign Books to Prisoners accepts book requests from Illinois inmates. We find books that meet their needs and send them out with a personalized letter. In conjunction with Spineless Books, we also publish prisoners' writings and artworks. And we do this as a creative way to address the poor selection of books available in many prisons, to let prisoners know they're not forgotten, to remind us that prisoners are part of our community, to encourage literacy, to share our enthusiasm for literature, and to educate ourselves and the public about life in prison and prison issues.
Yeah. Niloufar, how would you take that question? What's our mission?
Well, I think there is a general mission that Bill talked about, but I think each of us come to this from a different past experience and viewpoint. And for me, the most important part of what we are doing is to keep the channels of communications between the community and the inmates who are indeed part of our community, but most of them temporarily separated from the rest of us. And I really believe that by keeping these channels open, re-entry of these people into the community would be made much easier, and also they wouldn't feel as isolated while they are in prison, especially if we really see that many, many of them do not have any contact with the outside world. They don't have family members who would visit them, or they are not allowed to receive books from their family members. So we are providing, I think, and I hope, this connection with the outside world to the inmates.
Mm-hmm. I know that we want to tell people that the prisoners that we serve are only in the state of Illinois,
by and large. Yes.
Once in a while, a prisoner gets transferred, and we follow them just once to some other state or something. But generally, we have to limit our population to Illinois. And how many prisons are there in Illinois? Anybody know?
I really
the 70, around 70? Is it a
I think
wild
it's,
guess?
No, I think it's 44.
44.
Except I don't think that counts juvenile detention
Juvenile detention centers are considered 70. And then we also have federal prisons
that are
located in Illinois.
Yes.
And we do also try to, you know, give them service as much as we can. And the only thing that limits us from expanding our work is our resources. So if we ever expand to the extent that we can accommodate other states, we would gladly do so. But so far we have to. We have a lot of constraints in sense. And so we are only serving Illinois prisoners.
I want to talk about our project from several points of view. I want to talk about it from the point of view of a book that travels from your bookshelf out there to a prisoner's hands. And I also want to talk about the volunteer, from the point of view of a volunteer. What happens to a person when they just walk in the door for the first time, as many people do. Mm-hmm. And finally, I want to come back to the prisoners, because their point of view is very important to us. That's really why we exist. So if we could, focus first on the book. Where do we get our books, Bill?
They're all donated from the community. You can drop them off in various drop sites all over town, including here at the IMC.
I'm looking at one right out the window here.
Yes, there's a
plastic box donation bin right in the front doors of the Independent Media Center, which is the old post office just off Elm Street in downtown Urbana. There are drop boxes at Strawberry Fields, at the Illinois Disciples Foundation, at Espresso Royale, and at the Pie Full Delight restaurant. We have people who just show up with boxes of books. We do book drives. We contact friends. Word of mouth gets around. I've been, at my job on campus, I've been pestering people to leave books in the break room, and I bring them in a few every week. We get all kinds of books from all kinds of people. The room downstairs is just chock full of books. It's a really amazing thing to see thousands of books of every category imaginable to fill the requests from prisoners.
The only type of books that we purchase are dictionaries, because there is a great demand in both the jail and the prison for dictionaries, and we cannot get enough of them through donations.
Yeah.
So we allocate some funds to that, and we try to get it from the, you know, least expensive sources. And basically every single inmate that writes us for the first time asks for a dictionary. So that's one thing that we do. And we also do special requests. Like if we receive a request from a prisoner and we don't have it in our library, there is no substitute that would be acceptable, then we put those requests in a special place, and later on, if we run across those, we come back and fill those requests.
Yeah, if I could add that list of special requests is on the website. You can go in and take a look at very specific, hard-to-find books that prisoners are requesting, especially categories of African-American topics. The website is www.bookstoprisoners.org. You can find a lot of information about us there, and you can see the specific titles, everything from, you know, African history to DC comic books that people are requesting that it's hard for us to, you know, place, you know, fill that order.
That's bookstoprisoners.org, and you can also access it through wrfu.net. It is a subdivision of the radio station WRFU.net, which I want to start getting word out. You can listen to this show on your computer by going to WRFU.net.
I didn't know.
And hitting listen. Well, it's not been true until January that that's the case. And that means that people in further areas like West Champaign or further west of that, or Thomasboro or California, I mean, it has no limit. It's on the computer. And you can listen to it live from 12 to 1, or we have established archives. They have kind of come and gone for a while, but they're here now. And I just listened to last week's show last night on the archive, all 60 minutes of it. So I wish I had told each of you this before we had the show. You could have all your relatives lined up by the computer.
Yeah, actually, my son wanted to hear me, and I said, you have to come to Urbana to hear me.
I'm so sorry. Yeah. Well, and of course, the people that need to know this are not listening because they think they can't, like your son.
Yes.
So I have to keep putting this out in the announcements in the computer and just, you know, continue to tell people. The other thing I want to address to our audience right now is that you may call in this show if you want to make a comment or ask a question. And the number here, which I will repeat several times, but I hope you're getting your pencil ready, is 344-2536. 344-2536. And when you call, you will be directly on the air, and the other people here in the studio can hear you and answer you and talk back. Okay, back to, we were discussing the way that a book travels from your shelf. And I want to say one thing about the opening stage, and that is you. You're in your house, and you decide it's time to weed your bookshelf. Do not attempt to stand there and decide what a prisoner would like.
Exactly.
Get rid of anything you want to get rid of. Now, we will explain why from here. One of the two of you, Bill or Niloufar, explain what happens when a book gets to a book bin. Let's say you took it into Strawberry Fields and it's in that book bin there. What happens to it next?
I think Bill can talk to it.
Okay. We have several people who make weekly runs around town and pick up the book bins, and they all come here to the Books to Prisoners room at the Independent Media Center. We have all sorts of volunteers who sort through the books. We have a very good idea from reading all the letters what is in high demand for prisoners. So you don't have to do any pre-sorting or try to figure out exactly what books are needed. We've got people who have a very good idea of that. If we think books are of not interest to prisoners, we do have a book sale a couple times a year. We're going to be talking about our upcoming one soon. So a book never goes to waste. We will find some way, if it's not of interest to a prisoner. We have book sales with this huge academic community here in town. They go to use one way or another. If we sell them the book sale, everything that we make there goes to paying the postage costs for shipping the books to the prisoners. And those postage costs can be rather high. So don't think that a book isn't useful to us, because we'll find some way to use it.
I wanted to introduce a third volunteer who's with us, whose name I just discovered. Her last name is her first name is Yvette, and we know her as Yvette, but her last name is Skaven. And I would like her to tell us about what happens when a book turns out to be highly desirable on Amazon. Can you tell us what happens to books, what kind of books go to Amazon, and how they get there?
Well, I'm not the one who does all the work on Amazon, and the person who does, unfortunately, is not here. But that person has access to the Amazon, complete website, and knows by the number and checks every book on the website that might be possibly of interest. And then they see how many people or how far down the list. And if there are like 300 copies, we do not bother with Amazon. If there are maybe 10 or 15, we might. And then they are, so those, the ones that we reject for Amazon go back to our shelves. The ones that are selected are put in chronological order, and this person lists them on Amazon. And then when the requests come in, we find them because they've been put in chronological order. So So that's about it.
And they get a much higher price than we would get in a book sale.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Much higher.
What is the highest price you recall for a book on Amazon?
It was about $125.
Wow.
I think. Yeah.
So that isn't what happens to most of our books, but that is an additional way that we can make money for. What is it we make money for anyway?
Well, there are many, many things. The biggest single item is the cost of shipping books to prisoners. As of now, we are spending approximately $500, $600 per month to ship these books. Quite expensive. And we've just learned that the rate's going to increase in May, so I don't know how much that would affect our costs. But I'm sure that, you know, we have a wonderful community who works with us, and I'm sure they are up to the challenge of providing us with more resources. And so that's one thing. And then paper, Xeroxing, you know, we have to have a copy machine, upkeep of the copy machine. And then we also are part of IMC, so we have to, and we would like to, contribute to IMC by
paying rent. Yes.
Monthly rent.
Very low.
So there are things that one would not think of as costs of running this program, but indeed we are constantly seeking donations from our community members in form of monetary donations, books. And this is not exactly related to funding or the expenses, but wanted to take the opportunity to thank a larger network of our supporters who do not necessarily give us money or donate books, which they probably also doing that, but also provide opportunities for publicity for us. For example, there was a very good friend of our, Book to Prisoners program who had a fundraising at his house last week, and we got donations, book donations, and also monetary donations. A wonderful local musical group actually donated several CDs
and played for us.
And played for us. So that was
it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
It was great fun. Brazilian music was wonderful. And another way that our community helped us is, for example, some of the university professors who do works on the justice system, or especially the person who comes to my mind is Stephen Hartnett, who teaches classes in communication. And he actually lets his students to choose as one of their projects coming and working with Books to Prisoners as volunteers or writing their papers. And he always, when there is a program, he talks about us and encourage people to help us in this respect. So wanted to thank them.
I want to finish up our trip of the book. The book has gotten from your bookshelf to a book bin at a drop-off place, and now it has been picked up and brought in to our room downstairs, which is full of books. And then what happens, they are sorted. Bill said they are sorted into basically prisoner books, jail books, which are, jail, of course, has prisoners. We'll come to that later. And also book sale books. And right now, I want to tell you several times about our coming book sale, because it is very, very soon. So we need to give all the statistics on the book sale, like when it is. Do you have that in front of you, Bill?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
It'll be April 12th to April 16th at the IMC building at 202 South Broadway in Urbana. Thursday, April 12th, 4 to 9 p.m. Friday, April 13th, 12 to 9 p.m. Saturday the 14th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., Sunday the 15th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Monday the 16th from 10 to noon, when we'll be having a half-price sale to finish up the sale. Mm-hmm. There will be thousands of books to choose from.
Few CDs.
Few CDs and books on tape, and we have a selection of audio and video that we can't send to the prisoners, so that we stick it into the book sale. Come down this weekend, come back twice, browse around for some books.
This weekend? You mean next weekend?
Oh, I'm sorry, next weekend.
Yeah, yes. Next weekend. We start on Thursday. I don't know if we still need volunteers to work the book sale. We might be able to use a couple if you're interested. We're pretty well staffed, but we can always use a little help, and help in moving books and laying them out on the tables, which is going to take place on Wednesday, April 11th. And how much money did we make roughly at the last book sale? Anybody know?
Roughly 2,000.
Yeah, I think it's around 2,000, give or take, mm-hmm. some. And we have to have these sales more than once a year, because otherwise we'd have to shut down. This is our main way of paying for the postage, which I just found out is going to go up. And so let's say that you're a book, and you have been chosen to go to a prisoner. Then what happens to you?
Well, we volunteers answer the letters. They look through our big book selection to find the ones that are the best match. They get processed into the computer so that we're not sending the same books to the same prisoners twice. We have a history of the books that have been ordered by particular prisoners. We enter them into the computer, pack them downstairs, and send them out in as timely a manner as we can. We have maybe a couple weeks lag between getting a letter and shipping a book out. Sometimes it's only just a couple of days. We have a very high volume and a very active group of volunteers to get them out. So sometimes the fun of the volunteering is matching the best match book you can with the prisoner's requests. Some of the requests are extremely specific. They want one author, one title, mm-hmm. sometimes a particular translation of a particular book.
Yeah.
Sometimes they just send us letters that say, send me some novels, you know,
yeah.
and then the volunteers make their sort of best judgment about what this prisoner might like. So if you're a book, you sit on the shelf and some people browse through you and try to match you up as best they can with individual requests. And as quickly as we can, we ship you out to the prisons. Prisoners keep the books. This isn't a lending library or anything. They're sent to them free of charge. We got a pretty good idea that they get shared and swapped around and read over and over in the prisons. It's not a one-time thing and then go in the recycle bin. So they're getting a second life as a book within the prisons.
Mm-hmm. And if you're a book that goes into the book sale, you're going to end up in somebody else's bookshelf. And the money that they paid to go from your bookshelf to someone else's bookshelf will put a book in the hands of a prisoner.
Exactly. That's the beauty of it.
So please come to the book sale. And if you think, I know some people who wouldn't go near a book sale because they're afraid they might buy a book and they already have too many, you know. What I would suggest for people like that, come by and give us a donation. Just come by. There's 5 days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. And who knows, you might find, we have a marvelous section of books for children because people donate that to us. And, of course, prisoners are not interested in books for children. And so these go into the book sale. We have children browsing them all the time. So don't miss our book sale one way or another. Thursday, April 12th at 4 o'clock, we open. And we go from Thursday through the following Monday, April 16th, to noon. And the hours exactly are on flyers. The other thing you can do to help us with the book sale is put up flyers. We're now in a flurry of flyering right now. Today is April 6th, and so we have 6 days in counting till the book sale. And we're trying to get these flyers all over town. So if you're an IMC person, and a lot of people who listen to the station our IMCers, drop down into the basement room this afternoon or tomorrow or Monday. And if anybody's there, we'll give you leaflets to take around. Okay, now We're going to talk to some other volunteers pretty soon, but first I want to ask Bill and ask Yvette, why do you do this? Lots of work, no pay. What's in it for you?
I don't know, a couple of different reasons, I guess. It's really gratifying, especially when you get some letters from some prisoners who are making some sort of efforts at self-education, whether they're trying to find some practical way to set themselves up for when they get released. Or even more gratifying is when you find prisoners who are involved in some sort of self-discovery, self-education program. They're trying to open up their lives, open up their intellects. And you find books that match really well, and you feel like you're contributing in some, you know, sort of small, concrete way to a person opening up their mind to a larger view of the world. And that may seem like a small thing, but when you think of prisoners who are sort of disconnected and cut off from the broader world, and the libraries in our state prisons are being cut, the funding's being massively cut right now, just giving them a few, you know, four or five books to last them for a month or two, and then they write back to us again. It feels really good, especially when you can find just the match, and you can tell that it's appreciated, that you're sort of opening up their imaginations a little bit. I do have a letter from a prisoner I was going to read.
Oh, good.
That strikes to this. Dear Books to Prisoners, I'm writing this brief letter to inform you that I recently received the novels that I requested from you about a month ago. Thank you very much for sending me the reading materials that helps me free my mind from this living hell. Once again, thank you very much. I send my best wishes to the entire staff at UC Books, Kenneth. It's just, we get little letters and feedback like that all the time. It's not just sort of casual entertainment that a lot of these prisoners are looking for. It's opening up their minds and their imaginations in a really hellish situation, and that's really gratifying sometimes.
I would add to that that I discovered as a volunteer that people in segregation, which is, we just don't know how many thousands of people, basically all of Pontiac is, it's a supermax prison, and everyone is really in segregation.
Tams also has a big segregated population.
And when people are in segregation, that means they have no cellmate, no window, and no television, and no trips to the library, but they can receive our books when mailed to them personally, when they are in segregation. And they cannot receive books from their relatives. That's one of the prison rules. They have to receive it from a publishing company. And we have a publishing company that works with us called Spineless Books, which is always on the package that we send. So we are sending books from a publishing company. And now, Yvette, would you, I'm sorry, Niloufar. I'm looking right at Niloufar and calling her Yvette. Wanted you to answer this question. Why do you work for Books to Prisoners? Why did you get started, and why do you keep on?
Well, why did I start? I mean, I've been involved in various volunteering experiences in the past, but I can actually tell you when I got very interested in Books to Prisoners. That was when I read an article by Sandra Otten, who is one of the founders of Books to Prisoners. And as far as I can tell, she's the, you know, soul of our organization in some sense. She wrote an article about what Books to Prisoners doing, and that was October 2005, I remember. And I kept a copy. And I started coming November 2005. And from day one, I just loved it. It's really, the reasons are multifaceted. It's what I get from it, which is like I'm doing my part in helping someone who's otherwise very isolated and put away. That's one thing. And I'm also working with a wonderful, wonderful group of people. And it's amazing. If you come to one of our work days, or even if you come to the book sale, you know, that's another reason why you can come to our book sale. You just get this energy. and we feed off each other's energy. And I mean, really, you know, I can speak for everyone here. We really like each other very much, and we've come very close to one another. And also, I think, you know, this work would make people, the community, more aware of how much the prison population is an integral part of our society. And we have to do whatever we can to make the reintegration into society possible, and also in some other ways, by changing the laws in Springfield or at the federal level, make libraries more available in prisons, bring back the educational systems that once was in prison system and is no longer there since 1990s when President Clinton cut some of the funds for education programs. So I see this work as a way of making us and keeping us aware of the bigger issues, basically.
Thank you, Niloufar Shambayati.
Thank you very much for this opportunity. I really enjoyed it.
And Bill Mullins, you've been listening to. And now we're going to have a fresh crew of volunteers who are going to take their places. But first, let me reannounce the number you can call in if you wish to call in. It is 344-2536. And now we're going to have a short musical interlude. Listening to Acting on Faith, and this week we are having a special show on books to prisoners, and the reason we picked this week is because we are about to have a giant book sale, and it is going to be here at the IMC upstairs. You can come in the front door or the back door, and it's Thursday, April 12th, starting at 4 o'clock, Friday, April 13th, 12 noon to 9 p.m., Saturday, 10 to 5, Sunday, 10 to 5, and Monday, April 16th, is the last day to 10 to 12. And we're urging you to come to our book sale. And you'll find out why, once again, from hearing our volunteers talk. And I would like to have them introduce themselves first and perhaps say a word about when and why you began to get involved initially. Bob?
Sure. My name is Bob Thiemann, and I became involved in Books to Prisoners because I was a student here at the U of I, and I heard Sandra Otten speak on a radio show, actually, and it was an organization that spoke to me. I think this is a vital thing. When we send people into prisons and treat them as animals, they're eventually going to come out, most of them. And when you brutalize someone inside of an institution, they're going to be brutal when they come out. And if you strip away someone's humanity and deny them access to books, literature, family, they're not learning anything. There's no rehabilitation going on, and they're going to commit more crimes, most likely. We have an extremely high recidivism rate here in Illinois, and that's kind of a trend across the country. But I think this is just one small thing that we can do to maybe bring a little joy into someone's life, and I think that this is a vital thing, particularly because the funding for educational programs has been slashed to the bone. They're no longer Pell Grants available for college education. You now have a felony on your record, making it that much more difficult to get a job. And the prison's library system is crippled. Most of these prisons do, in fact, have libraries. However, they're so underfunded that they don't have any staff in them, so they're never open. So they have a room that's either empty or actually has books in it that prisoners are never actually allowed to go to. And so this is a way to get literature into the hands of people who are pretty much the most marginalized members of our society.
And our mission covers what area, Bob, of prisons?
Our mission covers Illinois prisons at this at this time. And that's just because we're limited financially. And with our work staff, we have a very limited amount of volunteers who come in. And that's why we're always trying to get more people involved and more people in here so we can serve the most people. We're very proud right now. We've recently passed a benchmark. We've mailed out over 10,000 books, and we've served well over 2,000 inmates in the state of Illinois. Now, that's a small fraction of the total prison population in Illinois, but that's over 2,000 people who are being better served by us. And we also serve the federal correctional institutes within the state of Illinois. We'd like to expand to possibly neighboring states at some point in the future, but as of right now, we are limited by our budget because we run on a real shoestring budget here. All of our money coming in goes towards postage and the purchasing of dictionaries because every prisoner who writes in wants a dictionary. So if we were able to get a grant or additional funding or something else, we'd love to expand our services, but as of right now, we serve Illinois inmates.
Thank you. And introducing herself is Deb.
I'm Deb Sanderson, and the reason I got involved with Books to Prisoners was I had been shopping at several of their book sales, and I had known Sandra from Weight Watchers, and, you know, I just said, you're selling all of these wonderful books, and I'm buying all of these wonderful books. You need money. You should be selling these books on Amazon. You could make some postage money. So we kind of talked and got together and ended up, I helped get the Amazon program started. And then I just kind of got sucked into every aspect of Books to Prisoners, literally. And I enjoy it. I've also brought my husband in. He comes in and helps. In fact, today we did a neighborhood book drive in two Southwest Champaign neighborhoods. And I do want to thank everyone in Glenshire. We got wonderful. We got a whole full-size pickup truck full of books from Glenshire, and we are so grateful. They will be put to such good use. We also picked up in Meadows West, and we did get some books there, but the outpouring was not as well as Glenshire. But we'd like to thank everyone that donated books. I don't know if you've gone over kind of the system that we use for the books, but the books are brought in. They're sorted down in our library. After they're sorted, they're put up onto the shelves for books that we can send into the prison or that we need. Then the books are put into sale boxes. We go through the sale boxes to see if there's anything we might list on Amazon. And then after they have gone through the Amazon process, then we put them into an avalanche room where they're stored for our book sales. Now, one of the things we also do is when we have our book sale, there are times when we get an influx of popular authors like John Grisham and Tom Clancy and James Patterson. We'll get an influx of those to where we don't have the room to put them. So we'll put them in a box, put them in the sale area, and then what happens is we get them all out for the book sale and go, oh, we need these, and we pull them out again.
You mean for the jails?
For the jails prisoners. And the prisons. So we have a nice little system that works very well that way. Our books that we got today will be gone through and use the same process. And what we can't use or don't have room for, we'll put in the sale and be able to make postage money.
Right. And finally, you have heard it already once from Yvette, but I would like her to introduce herself again.
Hi. I'm Yvette Skaven. I'm a retired librarian. I'm also a broken record because I also was introduced to Books to Prisoners through Sandra, through her column. And I said I'm a retired librarian. Also, like many people walking around, I have known a prisoner, and this was years ago, but I never forgot the experience. And this person was a university student, and I would bring books to him. This was in another state, and they just, no, can't have it. And that was my first introduction, you know, and I never forgot it. And it really hurt.
Yeah.
And anyway.
Yvette, you also... besides working in our Books to Prisoners, I think of it as the ranch. I don't know why, but our depot where we collect books and work with volunteers sending out books. We also have a couple of other workstations in town, you might say.
Yes.
One is the main jail, and the other is the satellite jail.
Right.
Would you tell a little bit about that? Because I know you and I work at the main jail.
That's right. I was there yesterday, as a matter of fact. Had a very good day, but as usual, well, anyway, it's interesting to know what the prisoners want, and that we didn't address that in general either, or I guess we did, but you know, about getting letters, mm-hmm. and then some of the prisoners here, of course, might be in for a shorter time, or else they're waiting for sentencing, and what surprises all of us is they always want poetry. It happened again yesterday.
Yeah.
They always want poetry to write or to copy or to be inspired by, the poetry so that they can write to their wives or their girlfriends. They also want to draw.
Or boyfriends.
Yes.
Because some of the girls like poetry, too.
Oh, that's true. How could I forget that? And they like art books. Some of them like to copy or just to get ideas. And again, for writing home or wherever. And it's just so fascinating. They always like they always like mysteries and so forth, but you never know what. You can get a request for deep philosophy, which has happened quite a bit. It's just amazing the gamut that it runs. Surprisingly, we always have quite a few good sports books, but sports doesn't seem to be that exciting.
No, I've noticed that.
I've noticed that too, yeah. I always get surprised at that. A lot of self-help books are used and a lot of religious books.
Yes.
Yes, a lot. And that's good. That we're very happy about that. Yesterday somebody said, oh, I'm into World War II, and he had this big World War II history book he checked out. Now, unlike when we answer letters to prisons, where the inmates can keep them, here we have a lending library, and part of that reason, of course, is that we want to hope that they will use libraries when they get out. So they have to learn how to use a library. And some of them are harder to learn than others. Some of them have no problem at all with it. And also, in both cases, both in the faraway prisons and right here in town, they do a lot of sharing. They do a lot of sharing and passing on books. And that is a very good thing, too.
One area that we haven't covered is volunteers and what happens if you think you would like to work with us, actually. There's many, many different ways, and I want to be sure that we explore that.
One of the ways you can volunteer is we have a website. The website is www.books2prisoners.org. If you go there, there's a place where you can email us to set up a volunteer time or a group of volunteers. There are phone numbers on there. Any of the places where we do book pickups, Strawberry Fields is one of the places. They all have our numbers on there where you can call. Urbana-Champaign IMC, the Illinois Disciples Foundation, Espresso Royale at Village Green Place, and Pie Full Delight Restaurant. You can find information about us there. We'll have information at the book sale. We have a lot of Illini student groups that come and volunteer. But we can always use more volunteers. Always use more volunteers. And while we're speaking of University of Illinois, I have someone I'd like to thank. The Illini Union Bookstore has just been wonderful for us. They have given us discounts on dictionaries when we needed to order them. They allow us to put a box out for students to put the textbooks that they can't sell back into, and then we can get those to our prisoners or, you know, into our book sale. They have just been so helpful and so wonderful, and we would like to thank the Illini Union Bookstore.
Also, to add to what Deb was talking about with the Illini or University of Illinois student groups, I'd like to mention that I and another volunteer here, Noah Lenstra, are in the process of creating a registered student organization on campus. So if you are a faculty, staff, or a student of the University of Illinois, keep your eye out for flyers. We're going to be doing a big push for membership, and basically the purpose of that group is to funnel volunteers over here and to arrange for additional times, because We do come together and volunteer Tuesday evenings and Thursday afternoons and also Saturday afternoons, but these times don't always work out for everyone, so we'd like to get the maximum amount of flexibility in there so we can really get everybody who's interested in helping us out to our mm-hmm. facility and get books sent out.
I would like to say about volunteers that it's possible for you to come by on, say, Tuesday at 7, or Thursday at 2, or Saturday at 2, and work for a couple of hours and feel good about it and be done. That's all right, too. Deb mentioned getting sucked in, which is kind of an unfortunate expression, but all of us who are sitting in this studio, and there are six of us, are people who have been charmed, enthralled, can't leave it alone. And that's the wonderful thing about this organization is that it has room for all levels of contribution. So if you are afraid that you come by and you'll get, quote, sucked in, don't be afraid. We put no pressure on you whatsoever. We are just delighted to share our organization with you, if it's even for a couple of hours.
Well, you know, one of the things that you find, that I found too, is that almost everyone down here knows someone or knows of someone or is related to someone who is either with the corrections department or in a facility. You know, it might be a friend, a neighbor, a relative. So a lot of us have a lot of that in common. But even if you don't have anyone that you know or that is incarcerated, it's a good thing for you to do to be a part of your community. That's another good thing about the book sale. I think the book sale enables us to sell books at a reasonable price to people who maybe can't afford to go to Barnes & Noble or and pay a lot of money for books. So I think our book sales do a service for our prison communities, and it also does a service for our community here.
And one thing I'd like to add is one of the great things about the Books to Prisoners program is when someone comes and gets involved in it and is involved in picking books and possibly packing books or processing them for shipping, one of the things that I think distinguishes us from other volunteer organizations is you're holding the letter of someone. There's a real connection there. You know who you're helping. You're reading their words. You're finding out what their books preferences are. And you can leave Books to Prisoners at the end of a shift with a real feeling of, all right, I helped 4, 5, 6 people, and their lives are better because of my action today. And I think that that's a really positive thing that people can use. And it's also something that keeps people coming back, is because you really get something out of it that you might not if you are sending money to Oxfam or possibly volunteering in another organization where you're just a faceless cog. The way our organization is set up is the individuals who come in, possibly first time, possibly repeat times, they are the core of our organization. They're the ones pulling letters, they're the ones pulling books, they're the ones deciding who gets what, and it's a really positive experience that I've found, and I've spoken to other people who've shown up for the first time or are repeat members, and I think that's one of the primary things that they really get out of it.
And it makes them want to come back. They want to return. They want to do more. They want to get more involved. They want to get our name and spread the word. And we've grown so much in the last few months. We've got our trifold pamphlets now that we can hand out with information. We've got the website. We just opened the satellite jail. We are also providing some books to the juvenile detention center. They come in and get books every once in a while from our library downstairs. They'll pull books and take them to the juvenile detention center. So we're helping a wide age range also.
And for people out there who aren't sure if they want to just show up at the IMC and jump right into it, we do have a mailing list available. So if you log on, or if you get onto the website, there's a listserv that's run by the Independent Media Center, and general information is just sent out on the Books to Prisoners mailing list. You can get information about special events, maybe if we really need volunteers for just a one-day thing like the upcoming book sale, April 12th to the 16th. We really need a lot of help getting people hauling books upstairs, taking them back down, or even just watching a cash register during that time. So if you're not so sure that you want to just get involved and jump in fully, then I encourage you to get on the informational mailing list and just learn a little bit more about the organization.
As Niloufar mentioned in the earlier part of the show, there are so many ways to help us in addition to physically coming to the place, and Deb has mentioned the Illini Union Bookstore, and Niloufar mentioned a benefit that was held at a person's house a week ago, in which we raised about $100, and we had a lot of book donations. And the book fair, which was put on by Barnes & Noble in February 12th, for sort of for Valentine's Day. We made money from that, and everywhere we go, we feel that we're getting a more well-known and more goodwill. And I want to mention Sandra Otten once again. She's been mentioned several times here, but she is the person that, that started this thing and has envisioned it and kept us growing and made us all realize that it, it all belongs to all of us. Yeah, it isn't a hierarchical organization at all. It's a self-organizing organization. She is going to be given an award, I found out recently, by the ACLU on April 22nd at a brunch that is a fundraiser for ACLU. And so we always tip our hat to Sandra.
Did you mention that she's going to be speaking on WCIA?
No, please.
I believe the week of our book sale, Thursday morning at, I believe, 7:30?
6:30.
At 6:30, so tune in to WCIA, and she's going to talk about the book sale and about books to prisoners.
Okay, we only have a minute left. I want to let Bob, Deb, and Yvette just make a short comment about why they keep on doing it. What is the heart's core of why you work at Books to Prisoners?
Well, I think it was it's partially what I was talking about earlier is you really impact someone's life. And you might not think that you're making a difference, but for that person who receives the books that you picked for them, that makes a world of difference, particularly if they are in segregation or in some other restricted setting. So I think that's what keeps me coming back, and I just encourage anyone who this speaks to get on our website and get on our mailing list and just get involved.
One person can make a difference. It doesn't have to be 50 people. You don't have to have thousands of dollars to donate. You can donate your time. You can donate your compassion. You can donate your patience. I think one of the things that really keeps me coming back is I read those thank you letters. And they are so wonderful. They are so grateful for what they get from us. And that's one thing that keeps bringing me back and wanting to work more is that it is making a big difference.
Yes, I agree with all of those. And as a retired person, I can also add that it helps a great deal for me to have a focus. And this has become my focus. And so is my focus. I want to come back all the time. I want to get contact with those prisoners.
Thank you all very much. You have been listening to Bill Mullins, Niloufar Shambiati, Bob Lyman Tiemann. Did I get it right?
Lyman Robert Tiemann, yeah.
All right, all right. And Deborah Sanderson and Yvette Shaven. I'm not used to people's last names. We all know each other by our first names. And Barbara Kessel has been your interviewer from Acting on Faith for today's program, which has been all about books to prisoners. We want to remind you and hope to remind you on the radio several times between now.